In the passage we heard from Mark's Gospel, we have what should be a warm and loving scene. Parents bringing their children to Jesus so that he could bless them. This simple act reveals much about the parents' faith and the culture of the time. And everything would be all right if only it wasn't for the disciples. The parents' request is simple and yet profound. They want Jesus to touch and bless their children. In the Jewish culture at the time, a blessing from the rabbi or teacher was highly valued. It was seen as a way to invoke God's favour and protection. And so by bringing their children to Jesus, the parents were not just acknowledging Jesus was a teacher, but more importantly, they're acknowledging his authority and seeking his divine intervention in the lives of their children. They believed his touch and blessing would have a significant impact on their children's lives. This act of bringing their children for blessing demonstrated their faith in Jesus' power. This simple request, bless our children, highlights their recognition of Jesus' purpose and their desire for their children to be under his care and protection. Most parents at the time would probably have taken their children to the local rabbi or maybe even to the temple in Jerusalem for a blessing. But these parents decided they wanted Jesus to do it. And it's possible they had travelled some distance to be with him. Their determination to bring their children to Jesus is important and should be remembered. But then they meet the disciples. Their reaction is in stark contrast to the attitude of the parents. They rebuke the parents, try to keep the children away from Jesus. We don't know exactly which disciple rebuked them, but I must admit, when I think about it, my mind always goes to Peter. It's always Peter who jumps in first, feet first, without thinking, without even considering the consequences. Now, I like Peter. I can relate to him on so many levels. But it is always he who is saying the wrong thing and then being told off by Jesus. Anyway, the disciples didn't want Jesus being bothered by having to bless the children. This rebuke, this trying to control access to Jesus, can probably be explained by their own idea of what Jesus' mission was, and also by the understanding of the social norms of the time. In their view, Jesus was a very busy and important teacher, and as such, shouldn't be bothered by children. The children would have been a distraction, or at least seen as less important than the work that Jesus was doing. In the culture at the time, children were often seen as less significant members of the society. They weren't important. They were vulnerable and dependent upon their parents, and their value was usually tied to their future prospects, their future potential, rather than their present status. Which is a bit of a dichotomy. Having your child blessed by the rabbi was important, but the children were not important enough to bring to the rabbi. Bit of a problem. When Jesus sees the disciples rebuking the parents, he becomes indignant. His reaction is significant because it shows his strong disapproval of the disciples' actions. His indignation is not just a mild irritation, but a deep, righteous anger at the injustice being done by the disciples towards the children. His response highlights his protective nature and his commitment to defending those who are marginalised or undervalued by society. This indignation serves as a powerful reminder that Jesus stands against any form of exclusion or discrimination, especially against those that are most vulnerable. Jesus uses this moment to teach a crucial lesson about the kingdom of God. He says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This emphasizes the qualities that are essential for entering the kingdom: humility, trust, dependence. Children, by their very nature, embody these qualities. They are humble, recognizing their need for others. They trust easily, relying on the care and protection of their parents or guardians or other adults. And they are dependent, acknowledging their inability to provide for themselves. Jesus is teaching that, like these childlike qualities, they're necessary for anyone who wishes to enter the kingdom of God. It's not about achieving greatness or earning merit, but about approaching God with a humble and trusting heart. And finally, Jesus takes the children in his arms, lays his hands on them, and blesses them. This act of blessing, as I've already mentioned, is deeply significant. As we saw in the Jewish tradition, a blessing is a powerful act of invoking God's favour and protection. By blessing the children, Jesus is affirming their value and worth in his eyes, in the eyes of God. And he is demonstrating his love and care for them, providing a tangible expression of his inclusiveness and compassionate nature. This blessing serves as a reminder of God's love for all his children and his desire to bless and protect them. So what can we learn from this passage, from Jesus' actions? One of the most striking aspects of the passage is Jesus' clear affirmation of the value of children. In a society where children were often seen as less significant, Jesus' actions stand in stark contrast. By welcoming the children, rebuking the disciples for turning them away, and then blessing them, Jesus demonstrates that children are precious in God's eyes. This teaches us that every individual, regardless of age or status, race or creed, religion, holds an intrinsic value and worth. It challenges us to reassess our own attitudes towards children and the vulnerable. Are we valuing them as Jesus does? Are we ensuring that they feel welcomed, loved, and important in our communities? Jesus' statement that anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it highlights the importance of childlike faith. This type of faith is characterized by trust, humility, and openness. As I said, children naturally exhibit these qualities. They trust their caregivers, approach life with humility, and are open to learning new things. Jesus is teaching that these qualities are essential for entering the kingdom. It's not about intellectual understanding or religious achievements, but a dependence on and a trust in God. This challenges us to cultivate a similar attitude in our own faith journey. Are we approaching God with the same trust and humility as a child? Are we open to God's guidance and willing to depend on God fully? Jesus' actions in this passage also underscore the inclusivity of the kingdom of God. By welcoming the children, Jesus is making a powerful statement that the kingdom is open to all, regardless of status or perceived importance. This inclusivity is a central theme in Jesus' ministry. He consistently reached out to those who were marginalised, undervalued, or excluded by society. It teaches us that the kingdom of God is not exclusive or elitist, but is open to everyone who comes with a humble and trusting heart. It challenges us to reflect this inclusivity in our own lives and community. Are we welcoming and valuing everyone, regardless of their background or status? Are we creating spaces where all people feel included and valued? So how can we apply this to our lives? One of the most immediate applications of this passage is the call to adopt a welcoming attitude towards children, and by extension, towards all who are vulnerable and marginalised. Jesus' indignation at the disciples' attempt to turn the children away, and his subsequent invitation for the children to come to him, highlight the importance of inclusivity. In our modern context, this means creating environments, whether in our homes, churches, or communities, where everyone feels valued and welcomed. For families, this could involve prioritising time with children, listening to their concerns, making them feel important. In churches, it might mean developing programmes that cater for the spiritual and emotional needs of the children, and ensuring that they're integrated into the life of the congregation. Something I think we actually do here in this church quite well. In broader society, it calls us to promote policies and practices that protect and uplift the most vulnerable among us. Jesus' blessing of the children and his teaching that the kingdom of God belongs to those who are childlike underscore the importance of nurturing faith from a young age. This involves more than just teaching children about God. It means modelling a life of faith that they can emulate. Us parents, guardians, mentors play a crucial role in this process by demonstrating trust, humility and dependence on God in our own lives. In practical terms, nurturing faith can involve regular family devotions, encouraging children to participate in church activities, provide opportunities for them to ask questions, explore their faith. It also means creating a supportive environment where children feel safe to express their doubts and fears, knowing that they will be met with love and understanding. Jesus' actions in this passage also challenge us to show his love and compassion in our interactions with others. This involves more than just being kind. It means actively seeking out those who are marginalised or overlooked and showing them the same love and acceptance that Jesus demonstrated. In our daily lives, this can range from simple acts of kindness to more intentional efforts to build an inclusive community. For example, we can make a conscious effort to reach out to those who might feel excluded or undervalued, whether in our workplaces, neighbourhoods, or social circles. We can also advocate for justice and equality, standing up against discrimination and working towards a society where everyone is treated with dignity and respect. To apply these principles in our lives, there are some practical steps we can take. First, we can examine our own attitudes and behaviours, asking ourselves whether we are truly welcoming and inclusive. Are there areas where we might be unintentionally excluding others? Are there ways we can be more intentional about showing love and acceptance? Second, we can help with the spiritual growth of children and young people in our communities. This might involve volunteering in children's ministries, mentoring young people, or simply being a positive role model for them. By nurturing their faith and providing them with a supportive environment, we can help them grow into mature, confident followers of Christ. Finally, we can commit to reflecting Jesus' love in all our interactions. This means being mindful of how we treat others, especially those who are vulnerable and marginalised. It also means being willing to step out of our comfort zones, to reach out to those who might feel excluded or overlooked. To sum up, the lessons from the passage challenge us to adopt a welcoming attitude, nurture faith, and reflect Jesus' love in our daily lives. By applying these principles, we can create environments where everyone feels valued and included, and where the love and compassion of Jesus are evident in all our interactions. This not only enriches our own lives, but also helps to build a more just and loving community, reflecting the inclusive nature of the kingdom of God. Amen.